Man, number five, Kentucky is just rolling. Number one, Tennessee. And I think it's easy for me to say this right now, watching a ton of college hoops, not just today, but once we get to February, you start getting ready for March, Duke's going to be unbeatable. I really believe they're going to be unbeatable in the tournament, because what Coach K did is he let them play early, right? You got Barrett, you got Zion, and now he's coaching them up. So now you get that combination, and you watch what they did at Virginia a week ago, and I just think come tourney time, they're going to be tough to beat. I think it's going to be very tough to get by them. And I look at Tennessee, and I don't see them as a number one team. I even look at Michigan, what they did to Maryland today, and you wonder, do they look like a national championship team? Yes, they play great defense. Now, Michigan State, when they went to Wisconsin, they look like they could win it all. And then when they lose at Illinois, they look like they could be knocked out in the first weekend, if not the first game. But, man, there's one team to me, and nothing against Gonzaga or Nevada, and they haven't played anybody during the regular season, but, man, you know, Duke and Zion, and that's why I'm watching the NBA All-Star Weekend, and Anthony Davis is talking about his list of preferred teams, and he has the Knicks in there. He has all the big markets, and, you know, I'm sure your agent and the positioning and everything going on for the offseason. But to me, if the Knicks end up with Zion and you got a Davis and a Kyrie came over and maybe even KD, Durant there. Because I no one's going. I mean, Cantor didn't even want to go play with LeBron in Los Angeles. And I know AD has the Lakers as one of his favorites along with the Clippers. But nobody wants to go play with LeBron and be the number two guy. I've said that all along. D-Wade had the perfect persona, personality. Same thing with Bosch, where they were willing to step back when they were the big three in Miami. Now the big three, it's big four, maybe even big five right now with Cousins and Golden State. So there's some great storylines, not during the All-Star weekend, okay? Because I'm trying to figure out, and I heard Taz and Moose in that CBS Sports Radio promo before I started. They were talking about what do you think of the NBA All-Star weekend. I'm trying to think between the NHL All-Star game, the NBA and their weekend, the NBA All-Star weekend, the MLB All-Star midweek festivities, the NFL Pro Bowl weekend. I'm trying to think if any of them deserve to continue. That's going to be one of our huge questions of the night. I'm going to get into the Kaepernick story and my huge opinion. And since we've been together on this Saturday night show, I've always talked about Kaepernick. I'll deliver a huge opinion. I'll take feedback on that. But also, could we live with no All-Star games? Seriously. Because there is no appeal. You know, it's, you know, maybe a little bit with Curry because of 3-point and the home cooking and coming home, and he's awesome, and what he did with Under Armour, and they redid a kids' rec center instead of throwing an Under Armour All-Star weekend party. I mean, I think Curry gets it, man. I do, on the court, off the court. I think Curry is as good as anybody who's ever been in sports. He gets it. Man, he doesn't whine. He does not publicly whine. You know, I'm watching LeBron right now, and it's All-Star weekend, and he's a top five player maybe in the history of the game, and he's not on that pedestal. He's not. Lakers aren't going to the playoffs. He's not on that pedestal. He's not. I'm telling you, is that the more he complains, the more he whines, whether it's coaches, whether it's, you know, collusion, whatever it is. I don't think his social networks, and he may have 50 million followers, whatever that number is, I don't think it's doing him justice for keeping him on that perch with the greatest of all time. And when he misses the playoffs this year, what do you do? You're going to be a year older. You went to L.A. I get you got the HBO gig. You're producing shows. You're an unbelievable father. You know, because I can separate just looking at somebody on how they're doing it, because LeBron's not breaking any law. You know, maybe the law of marketing, maybe the law of self-hype, and that's not his MO. But it like I'm looking at this All-Star weekend, and you would think when the King, somebody who is referred to as the King, I think he had a bigger star in Cleveland. I really do. I think the biggest the light has shined on him, or shone, however you want to say it, has been when he was wearing a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. I really do. Nothing against what he did in Miami. Nothing against L.A. and the movie stars and celebrities, and it's Los Angeles. But they're not going to be a playoff team. You know, and he got over the hump after what Dallas did to him, and he learned, and again, he, you know, talked about, well, hey, some of you have to go to work tomorrow. I don't, whatever that, you know, paraphrasing that comment. And I was thinking about this today to bring to the show, that I think LeBron had a, you know, it was the coming home column. It was the mural on the side of the building. You know, out in Los Angeles, there's a lot of stars. There's a lot of star power. And his star was bigger in Cleveland, Ohio, because he was from Akron. He, you know, he came back. He won a championship. He was doing it basically on his own to a point. I know when he had Kyrie, right, and he had JR, and he had, you know, a lot of contributing factors in terms of the team winning. Kind of like what Michael did with the Bulls, right? Look what he had around him. You know, Scottie Pippen still should be sending him residual checks each and every month. But LeBron had a bigger mystique about him, and I believe more buzz when he was in Cleveland than in Los Angeles. And I'm talking positive buzz. Because once he won that championship, the haters shut up. They really did. Everybody just zipped it. Well, now in Los Angeles, here they are lining up again. Oh, wait a minute. You're the Lakers. You're not going to make the playoffs. You know, you didn't get the big name who wanted to join you at the trade deadline. You know, now you're on list with Anthony Davis. You're on list or buzz or hearsay. Everybody's not knocking down the door because now you're playing for Magic Johnson and you're in L.A. Nobody was knocking down the door because what made him bigger in Cleveland is that, you know, outside of Kyrie, right? He could do that on his own. He could carry that team on his own. That's what Michael did with the Bulls, okay? What'd the Bulls do without Michael? What's Cleveland doing without LeBron? Lakers, and I'm not quite in the same spot, but, you know, they're 10th right now in the West. They might be 14th or 15th. You know, they could be towards the bottom if they didn't have LeBron. But is that a bad thing if you're the Lakers and you're building? Because I believe that Pelinka and Magic Johnson thought, okay, when we get LeBron, people are going to line up to play. We're going to get our own Golden State. We're going to get our big four. We have the young players to trade for it. We're going to get our big four. Because I don't know if Magic's there to, you know, wait for young guys 4 or 5 years. I don't. You know, so to me, I look at it, and there's no one lining up to go to the Lakers. I think Davis, when I saw his list, and he had, you know, Lakers and Knicks and Bucks, that was interesting. So that tells me that Davis wants to win. He wants to go to some place where he can win, and are you guaranteed with the West? And I guess it depends if Golden State breaks it up after this year. I like how we talk about, hey, Golden State, man, I don't know about them. Yeah, they're still the number one team in the West, okay? You tell me how they're going to lose a series to anybody unless they have massive injuries, right? That's the only reason. And the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron, and I know he missed some time with the groin, but they are behind the Sacramento Kings. The Kings. Yeah, they're behind the Sacramento Kings. I think they have a 22% chance of making the playoffs right now. They're behind Sacramento. They're just in front of the T-Wolves. That's where LeBron's mystique is. Meanwhile, when you look in the East at his old stomping grounds, Milwaukee is that story. and they're young. I mean, they could be setting up a, I don't know if it's a Golden State run, but between Milwaukee, Toronto, and I think Boston, if they can get, you know, I love how people say Boston's in disarray. They're still 16 games over 500. And then Philly with the same record and what they've done. And Brooklyn's been a nice story with the way they've played. But man, when I look at this All-Star weekend, it has nothing to do with the All-Star festivities in Charlotte. It has to do with the changing of the guard in the NBA and also LeBron. I get Curry's the storyline, you know, Davidson and coming home and everything he's done. But LeBron made a huge mistake going to the Lakers. He was bigger in Cleveland. And now Baker Mayfield is bigger in Cleveland. So I'd love to get your feedback here in the first hour. And we will get the Kaepernick story later in this broadcast. But the All-Star festivities, including the game, do you have a favorite or could we do without all of them? Okay, so you tell me, NBA All-Star Weekend, which we're living right now, NHL All-Star Weekend, MLB All-Star Midweek, you know, that's a home run derby in the game, NFL Pro Bowl Weekend. Could we remove all of them and still be happy in our sporting lives? And what's the best one if you have to keep one? And then are you with me? Did LeBron make a mistake going to the Lakers? Was he bigger in Cleveland than Los Angeles? Now, don't say that to anybody listening right now in Southern California, that you could have a bigger star on the shores of Lake Erie than in Hollywood or Inglewood or Hermosa Beach or at Disneyland. So you can join us at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance at geico.com. We do have Kevin Wall and also Mike Zimmerman back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. Here in about 9 minutes, John Fass will deliver another historic update. Also, I'll deliver huge opinions later, and we'll get the audience interaction on the Kaepernick story. And the NFL had to do what they had to do. They had to settle. Nobody was going to win in that. Kaepernick would be vilified by the public. The NFL would be vilified with how their communication, it would become another script for concussion meets collusion. And the NFL has the money to buy their way out of any situation. It is big corporate America. That's the world we live in. It is flat out big corporate America, and they got all the money to do anything they want to do. Now, some will say, well, Kaepernick sold out. And yeah, if his mission was to prove the NFL was wrong in keeping him from getting a job, then he should have seen that all the way to a courtroom and testifying and all the media coverage. But I'll tell you, if reportedly, what is it, $40 to $80 million, if somebody gives you lifetime money, what do you do? And you're Colin Kaepernick, and privately, if you are donating, if whatever he's doing to help any social change, I applaud. My beef with Colin Kaepernick has never been about changing what's wrong in America. My beef with him began with him saying that the flag stood for oppression, that the streets of America, that there was bloodshed everywhere, that he wore the pig socks to practice and the NFL allowed it. Okay? The same NFL that wouldn't let decals saluting the Dallas police officers slain on the Cowboys' helmets. So my issue has never been that we have problems in America. We do. We have racist people. We have people of all skin colors who don't like other skin colors, who don't like religions, who don't like people who like this political party or that political party. We're the greatest country on earth, but also I think we're the most dysfunctional. Yeah, look at the Empire Star story out of Chicago now and the allegations that that was two hired guys. And here we go, trying to flame racism. A place like Chicago doesn't need soap opera or TV script headlines. They need help on their streets. And that's where Colin Kaepernick, what I hope, and people are like, oh, he should donate all that money. No, you don't need to tell him what to donate. But I will say that as long as his focus is on whatever he feels in his heart, and it's not attacking or grouping or stereotyping all law enforcement, those incredible men and women who go to work every day and they don't know if they're coming home. Yes, there are rogue police officers, improperly trained, who have attitudes, and they should be dealt with accordingly, just like criminals are dealt with accordingly. But you cannot stereotype all law enforcement. You can't say that that flag stands for oppression. And the pig socks and the Castro t-shirt, yeah, you have a right to your own opinion. And in the end, a lot of people are screaming, well, look, Kaepernick got paid. Well, you know, the NFL made a mistake. I don't fault him for going after the NFL. You know, Eric Reed, the Carolina Panthers, took care of him before this came out and gave him, what, like $22 million guaranteed? It was about the platform during the anthem, the attack on the flag, the attack on all law enforcement with the pig socks. That's what bothered me. You know, modern day slave patrols at law enforcement. That's another quote from Colin Kaepernick. And everybody, you know, along the path of the Nike campaign and Colin Kaepernick, a victim, forget what fueled this division in America. And it wasn't because he's a black man. It wasn't. It had nothing to do with skin color. It had nothing to do with race. The Colin Kaepernick story on why it was a hotly contested, divided conversation that hasn't ended and still lives on today had nothing to do with the color of his skin. Nobody had an issue with players protesting based on the color of their skin. It was that it was an attack on the flag and on law enforcement, and it was happening at a football game where a family paid money, or guys did, or girls, or people of all skin colors paid money to come be entertained. Now, Colin can talk about racial inequality and racial social injustice, and he has every right to go help people. And he doesn't have to tell us. He's free to do what he wants to in America. Coupled with this settlement, let's say we'll go to the low end, $40 million. With the $43 million he's made, I know some will say $129 million contract, but he never saw all that through, right? So Colin Kaepernick is not a victim. Colin Kaepernick, if I go low end of this reported NFL settlement, he's made $83 million connected to playing in the NFL. He had a great career at Nevada. He had a family that raised him. He has lived a life that a lot of us dream of. He is not a victim. He's a victim of collusion, possibly, but it wasn't worth the risk for the NFL, or maybe even for Colin, the longer this went. So he settles and he gets a mega payday. Now he can go focus on hotspots. And I've always said this about Colin Kaepernick or anybody who has an issue with social injustice in America. Man, let's look at the Empire Star in the Chicago situation and how he tried to really just inflame racial divide in the third largest city in America. Let's go make those streets safe for kids to go play at the schoolyard, to walk to school, to walk to the corner store and grab a soda after school, down the street to their elementary, That, to me, is the biggest social injustice in America, that our children are not safe. And I'm talking about children of all skin colors, all religions. So Colin Kaepernick got paid. As long as this isn't about the anthem and about all law enforcement, more power to Colin going out there now and bringing change. And I suspect that an NFL team could still bring him on as a backup quarterback. I really do. You know, it's almost like they, to validate their deal, that a team will sign him. That a team will sign him. And will he even want to sign now with that mega deal? Because the NFL could turn around and say, hey, the Buffalo Bills offered him a backup position, a roster spot to come try out. He didn't want to do it. So if the NFL wants to play the PR game back at him, they could just announce that one franchise offered him a job. And also, you're a franchise, and a lot of people have been outspoken towards Trump in the NFL, and that's why I was really surprised no one ever signed him. You know, this collusion thing that all 32 owners are these greedy old white guys, I don't buy it. And they all get along, and they all make the same decisions. This is the NFL that has brought us Deflategate as a deflection on domestic violence. This is the NFL that never hired the proper medical authorities or medical staffs to oversee the concussion error. They wanted to hide it. This is the NFL that just prints money. This is the NFL that's the biggest sport in America. So don't rule out that Colin Kaepernick is on somebody's roster, because then they gave him a chance. He tries out. I don't know if he would now that he got that big money deal. But the NFL could really say, hey, we offered him a spot and he didn't want to try out. That doesn't help his image. So wrapping up my huge opinion on this Saturday night, and I'll say it one final time. More power to Colin Kaepernick to help bring social change and equality to America in spots where it's needed. Just don't label all of the country or the flag or all law enforcement as people who stand, sit, or kneel for oppression. If you want to join in, we'll take your feedback on Kaepernick. Also, with the All-Star weekend in the NBA, should all All-Star games be banished in North America? You tell me. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter. Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We are back live across North America, something we do each and every Saturday night. We're all about huge opinions, yours and mine, Zimmerman or Wall, or both are parked inside the producer studio at CBS Sports Radio, New York City. John Fass with another update here in about 20 minutes. And I was talking with the boys back in NYC, and if the NFL really did unite to keep Kaepernick off a roster, then why didn't they have one team offer him a spot as a third stringer, publicly say they offered him, and he turned it down? How would that be collusion? My guess is, in this discovery, and from what I've read, that they discovered, and that discovery would be evidence in a trial. I'm not a lawyer, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, that they had the NFL on something, some pompous communication that if it went public would just hurt the league and what the league's trying to do. If you think about the state of the NFL address with Goodell before the Super Bowl this year with the Rams and the Patriots, there wasn't a lot of negatives. You know, no one's talking about concussions and the referee in the NFC Championship game, and that was there. But there wasn't domestic violence. There wasn't concussions. There wasn't PEDs. There wasn't that the league is hemorrhaging money. There was none of that. So instead of keeping the Kaepernick collusion suit moving forward, they just cut a deal to end it. The NFL has the money. You know, they did the multi-billion-dollar settlement for concussions. Nobody could talk about anything if you want to share in it. It's all confidential. And I think this is where some have fired back at Kaepernick and said, wait a minute, are you about justice and true change, or is it about a payday? And tell me, anybody listening, if somebody offered you $40 or $80 million, if you think you were wronged in the workplace, right? And you're not, no one has full control to do whatever they want to do in this country. You don't. You have laws, even the president can't do what he wants to. Okay, everything. That someone offered you reportedly 40 to 80 million bucks. Are you not going to take that and be done with it? And if he wants to, like I said, privately help whatever social change he wants to, as long as he's not ripping the flag, the anthem, or stereotyping law enforcement, hey, man, go get it done. I'll support you. Everybody will support you. Go. There are cities where there are police officers, and I'm telling you, it's a small percentage, because one video doesn't represent all law enforcement, just like one video of a black man attacking a white police officer doesn't represent every black person in this country. Colin Kaepernick, you know, but he must have had something on the NFL, him and his lawyers, because he got paid, and Eric Reed got paid twice. Eric Reed got paid by the Panthers, and he maybe got paid again. So I'll take your feedback on Kaepernick. Also, we'll get more into getting rid of all these All-Star weekends. Are they worth it to us, the media, you, the fans? 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. And somebody, and going back and forth on my, you know, Twitter and Facebook accounts, and having some pretty good conversation, not just, you know, scorched earth, that, you know, the Kaepernick and the pig socks, and the Kaepernick and the flag stands for impression, and law enforcement's modern day slave patrols. No. You have no evidence to back that up. And it's not the 60s, it's not the 70s, and people comparing Kaepernick to Martin Luther King or Muhammad Ali or Jackie Robinson. Come on, man. And like I said, between the $43 million he cashed in playing for the Niners, between the $40 to $80 million, and I went low end, it's $83 million that he's made. Played college ball. Raised in a great family environment. The American dream. That's the greatest thing about this country. It still is there. And I don't care about your skin color. I don't care about your religion. You can chase the American dream if you work hard in America. You can. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, it can happen. It really can. Sports and in the real world. But you have got to make the effort to get your education, to pay your dues. You don't walk into big money. You work hard and you move up the ladder. And if you believe and keep pushing and keep dreaming, you can do it. Let's go to Gary in Pittsburgh, listening on 93.7 FM. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Hey, good evening. This is the first time I've listened to your show, and your opening monologue compelled me to call because I really appreciate your objectivity regarding this issue. It was really good. As far as Kaepernick goes, and I agree with you. I think he's kind of extended this thing a little bit past its own boundaries, and I kind of see him as, I take him for what he's worth, which is he raised awareness to a situation that needed a flashlight shined on it. I had this conversation with my cousin a couple weeks ago, and one of the things that he had mentioned was how he felt it was a slap in the face to the soldiers who, you know, have died and served and serve now with the kneeling of the national anthem. And I look at that the other way. I think that's exactly why they died. So we can do these sorts of things. So we have the freedom to do these things. And just because you don't agree with it doesn't necessarily mean that it should be that it's wrong. So, you know, taken as a whole, I think he's done more good than, I don't know, I think bad's too strong of a word, but I think he has sort of lost his way with his own stance on things. And but, you know, that doesn't bother me. I appreciate what he started.
All right. Well, Gary, thank you for the call in Pittsburgh, listening on 93.7 FM. Here's what's up, is that when he sat, I was offended. When he kneeled, it didn't bother me. And that was after he talked with Nate Boyer, who's a former Green Beret who played college football at Texas while he was, you know, summers, you know, on missions defending freedom and also in the Army, right? So I didn't have the kneeling with no, if you think about it, nobody else really, there hasn't been too many. I know Malcolm Jenkins or whatever. There aren't a lot of lightning rods because a lot of guys knelt, they held the hands, they whatever, arms around each other. You know, they did their own way of sending a message during the national anthem, but no other player said that the flag stood for oppression. No other player other than Kaepernick said that law enforcement was modern day slave patrols. No other player wore pig socks to an NFL practice. No other player did those things. That's what lit this fuse. If you think about it, anybody else, and Eric Reed was outspoken to a point, but also he was there with Cap and played with him with the Niners. No one else. Nobody else. Because they made it their own message. As a team, as an individual, maybe only one or two guys were still doing it. They were doing it. Okay? You know, Marshawn Lynch would eat his Skittles and sit on the bench and not pay attention to the national anthem, but he didn't say anything. Some people are like, well, just Marshawn. Okay? He didn't follow it with the flag stands for oppression. And I get where some military support Kaepernick and some don't. But when he just made it all-out war on law enforcement, and yes, Freddie Gray in Baltimore, Ferguson, there are some stories that and videos that are disgusting. South Carolina, New York City, right? There are, but that doesn't represent the larger, massive majority of law enforcement who put on a bulletproof vest every day and they don't know if they're coming home. And that flag doesn't stand for oppression. It doesn't. And law enforcement aren't modern-day slave patrols. So lost in this, it became a military versus Kaepernick. And no, I think the way this heated up is that the majority of Americans respect the hell out of law enforcement in this country. And they said, wait a minute. And a majority of Americans do not think that the flag stands for oppression. And I get it. There are people who, you know, don't honor the national anthem. They're walking around drinking at a game. There are people who burn the flag. You get that right to protest. And also there are people in a stadium who didn't want to see protest. They're paying big money, you know, for the jerseys, for, you know, $13 for a beer, $10 for nachos. But at the end of the day, why nobody else was, you know, were they blackballed by the league? I don't know. Was it collusion? Because I don't get why all these owners would do that. Especially an owner who is like, you know, whether it's Lurie or whoever outspoken against Trump or whatever he's doing. Again, I don't care what political side of the aisle you're on. I really was shocked that one NFL team in a major metropolitan area never signed Kaepernick just to make a point. That they never did that. I really am. Now, whether that was quiet, you know, part of this settlement, that, and I don't know, whether there was something behind the scenes where Goodell, because remember, Goodell did Deflategate almost to the Supreme Court. And the way the NFL hid medical evidence, or at least buried it, hid might be too strong, when it, you know, you watch the movie Concussion, and then they go settle with billions, and these guys all get money, and they get treatment and lifetime health care, but you can't talk. confidentiality agreement in the settlement if you want to share in the money. And the biggest part, at least according to reports with this Reed Kaepernick thing, is that there's a settlement and you can't talk. And the NFL has the money to make anything go away. They're the same league that let Greg Hardy play when he almost killed a woman. But then they're the same league that wouldn't let those same Dallas Cowboys put decals on police officers who were gunned down by a madman. The NFL, for being the biggest product in America, the PR moves, they can't get out of their own way. They can't. They just can't. I mean, they have some good people, the Rooneys in Pittsburgh, the Maras. There are some good owners. You know, Jerry Jones is a good owner, but he's there to win. He's there to make money. But the NFL will, if they did this, collude against Kaepernick. But then guys like Leonard Little, who, you know, got, what, an 8-game suspension? You know, Kareem Hunt's getting a second chance, which I don't blame the Browns, right? They got Chubb. He's not going to play a lot. But the NFL just can't follow, not a script, but follow a moral compass. So what did Kaepernick do? He really just PO'd a lot of people. He didn't hurt anybody. I don't agree with anything he ever said. Kneeling, sitting, that's his business. Okay, I don't agree with anything he said about the flag, about law enforcement, none of it. And I never will. But at the end of the day, compared to what other men have done and still been a part of the NFL, well, Kaepernick obviously had a case. That's why they settled. I want to get your feedback on Kaepernick. We'll talk more about the All-Star weekends across the board in sports. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter.